Blog Talk Radio.
Let's talk about the radio world. This is the Chaos Talk Show with your host, the one and only Derek Oliver.
It's chaos time.
When you go to church, you go to church. When you feel like that's where you want to be, that's where you be.
And we are back, and I apologize to those that we have lost. We did have some technical difficulties with my engineers in Carolina and in Cleveland. We want to apologize for that, but we're back on live with a strong signal all over the place. And we just going to reboot the show. See, that's what happens when I don't have my wife with me. Stuff just happens. But no, I'm just playing. I'm just joking. Everything is fine. We just had a technical issue. We got it squared away and fixed. And now we're ready to roll with what we were talking about. And I'm just going to start all over again. Again, I want to give thanks to the Lord, the head of my life. thanks to all those that are listening out there that called in, that your phone was dropped. I'm sorry, call back in. And for those that was online that heard us, heard the little dry spell for a minute, I do apologize. we do have it back up and running again, and just want to thank my engineers for getting me back on so quickly. And again, we're going to talk about Doubting Thomas. I just want to get this word out because I just believe, I know if I deal with it, and I've been saved a long time, sometimes doubt creeps in and makes you wonder, you know, are you capable of doing what God has told you to do? Are you capable of doing it? Are you capable of believing what his word tells you? I'm just so intrigued with Doubting Thomas because he was one of the 12 disciples. He was one of the ones when they walked on water, he saw the miracles of Jesus. He's seen it right there in the flesh. But when Jesus appeared to the disciples and he wasn't there, he didn't want to believe it. And it messes with me to a point where I say, well, if I wasn't there to see Jesus and I believe it, and I believe in what Jesus did, and he got nail prints in his hands and his feet and the spear in his side and the thorns on his head, and it was a brutal death. If I believe it, I believe it happened. I also believe that he rose again, that I might have eternal life in heaven and I might be saved. If I believe that, even though I wasn't there to see it, like Thomas, he saw him be crucified. He just didn't see him when he returned, when he rose on that. He didn't see him. And I believe the Bible says 8 days later, when Thomas did see Jesus, he believed. And sometimes we believe Jesus, sometimes it's for small things. We believe Jesus can do it, and he does. And sometimes Jesus does the big things. But while we're going through certain seasons in our lives, sometimes that doubt will kick in. And sometimes it ain't even got to be your doubt. It could be people around you who will put that doubt, plant that seed of doubt in your head. It could be your family members. You're trying to do something, and they say, well, you don't have the capabilities of doing what you're doing. We have to be careful with who we surround ourselves with, because if we can believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, and that was one of the most crucial things a human being ever went through, and he died for our sins. Whatever we go through is nothing like the crucifixion. And if we can believe what he did on Calvary's cross, why can't we believe when it comes to our own lives? And just my opinion is because the people you surround yourself with. Before I came on the air to talk to my pastor, and before I talked to my pastor, I was talking to my wife before she went back to the hospital. And it's amazing, in a year and a half, how the Lord has blessed me. It's amazing. I can't explain it to people because people wouldn't believe me. And then when you try to explain it, they will try to talk me right out of my blessing that the Lord has blessed me with. And then when it comes to days like today, I'm just doubting. You know, what makes you think you're so good that you can have your own radio show? You don't even got a degree in broadcasting. You know, you start listening to them people. Your degree is in criminal justice. You know about the law, but you don't know nothing about the radio business. And Chaos has been good to me over the past year. And I'm going to tell you why. It's not because some miraculous thing that I've done. It's because my commitment to the Lord, my belief in the Lord. And if I'm letting the Lord lead me in his way and not my way, stuff just happens that you just can't explain. And right now, my wife's daughter is in the hospital. People will want to ask questions and say, this is the reason why, this is the reason why. All the negativeness, and then we start to think, are we feeding her right? We start to self-examine ourselves, and we just start to doubt. Now, sometimes, even young people, we need a tune-up. Sometimes we might be going so fast, the Lord may want to slow down for a minute. Let me talk to you. Not saying that this is the case for any and everybody, but sometimes the Lord wants to talk to us. And it's nothing to doubt that we were doing anything wrong. It's just to get our attention so we can talk to the Lord. But people want to put that doubt into us. They want to plant a seed of where what we believe and how we live is not 100% true. Because the way I'm thinking and the way I believe, I just think, and I'm just speaking this because it's all my Lord's giving me to say, she didn't need a break because she'd been working too hard. She needed to just get some rest. Just get some rest, some good, solid rest with nothing. And that's just what I believe. I believe my wife needs some rest away from the house because we got a lot of stuff coming up. And we're not looking at it like that. We're looking at it as we got to get this done, this done, this done, this, and it becomes, and then you start listening to the naysayers. How are you going to get all this stuff done? My wife was saying to me, and I'm using this because I'm trying to speak a word. I'm trying to get people to understand something. How am I supposed to do this? She's going to be in the house for 3-4 more days. We got to teach a lesson. We got to come. The Lord may want to talk to you for a minute. Stop doubting the situation. And let's believe in what Christ is going to do and how he's going to lead us. Thomas saw the miracles of Jesus. The only thing, he was not there when he appeared to the 10 disciples. He was one of the ones that was not there. And he made up in his mind, he got to see it to believe it. But we as believers, and I'm talking to the believers tonight, we don't have to see it to believe it. If we already believe what he did on Calvary, no matter what situation we're going through right now, we should not be doubting anything when it comes to Christ. If we're living the way that we're living and we're believing the scriptures the way we're supposed to believe the scriptures, nothing should shake our faith. We shouldn't doubt anything. Even if the people around you don't believe what you're saying is true. I just feel in my spirit, wherein John chapter 20, And I just want to read 26, and it says, and after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then he said to Thomas, reach here thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered him and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. So if you haven't seen him, the Lord said, because we haven't, but we believe it, we are blessed. And because we are blessed and we believe in what we did not see, that regardless of the situation we're going through, if you apply the scriptures to it, it will come to pass. Don't stop doubting what God can do. I don't care what situation you've been in. God can overcome your doubt. He can overcome your fears. The only way he can do that is he has to show you. And how did he show you? Well, he woke you up this morning. That's one way he can show you. You could have woke up sick, but he still woke you up this morning. Now you have to believe that he can heal your body. If you believe that you woke up this morning and you had the power and in the activities of your limbs and in your right brain, he can deliver you from anything. You just have to believe it. In order to believe it, you have to have the faith. How do you get the faith? Faith come by what? Hearing the word. The word of what? The word of God. When you get it, you start applying it, then doubt, it begins to leave. There's something you cannot tell me that God can't do. I'm a believer, especially now, that the Lord can do anything but fail. My wife's daughter, Asia, made a comment the other day. She said we were rich. And my wife looked at her like she was crazy. But, I'm liking the feeling of we're rich because we are rich. We may not have $1 million in the bank account, but I think I got $1 million worth of faith. And whatever comes my way, I know the Lord will deliver me. He delivered me from cancer. I had cancer. I lived in Ohio. I did my last chemo on July 5th, 2017. Because 2 days later, I got married. So when my medical records came here to Georgia, and they checked my blood and they checked my health, there's no trace of the cancer that I ever had. The only trace of the cancer that I have in my body is the bill that I have for all the chemo treatments I went through, all the times I spent in the hospital. That's the only trace of the cancer that's in my body. That's nothing but God. So now that he healed my body, I don't doubt anything that he can do when it comes to my body. This past year, this pandemic we've been living in, it hurt a lot of businesses. It hurt a lot of families. It hurt a lot of people that I know personally. But for me and my family, me and my wife, we birthed DNK during the pandemic. And since we birthed it, it's not that we're trying to have a church. We want to have church outside of church. We go to belong to Praise Tabernacle. That's the church we belong to. That's where we go. That's where we're at. But this is our house ministry because church starts at home. I can't be effective in the church unless I'm effective here. Now watch this. Now people try to put doubt in our head that we couldn't do this because we weren't qualified because whatever their reasons was. Now because of their reasons, we may not be qualified. But according to our God whom we serve, he qualifies us. And because you start to doing his will, doubt starts to leave. Now I'm not saying every day you're going to have a perfect day, you're not going to have a bad day, and you're not going to have some bad thoughts. That's when you have to keep reading the word and keep reading the word. Because sometimes the devil, he tried to get your mind. And when you think about Calvary's cross, think about the nails in his feet, the nails in his hands, and think about the thorn that went on his head. That was trying to mess with his mind. So every mind trick, the devil tried to get it, but Jesus nailed it on the cross. So that doubt that Thomas had, it was nailed on the cross. The disciples saw him and believed it. And other people who didn't see him believed it. People who've been in church my whole life, never seen him, believe that without a shadow of a doubt. So it's very important that you don't take this doubt that anybody puts on you and run with it, or surround yourself around people who's going to doubt your ability. Because as long as you believe in Jesus, your day can change at any given point in time, and he can orchestrate something for you to be victorious. I'm happy where I am with my life. Something happened a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to give you a little insider, and then check back with me in about 6 months. But my wife finally put her business out there, what she's trying to do. Now, I'm not here. I'm not going to talk for her. I'm just going to give you what I know. She has a business that she's getting ready to start. And it's a pretty good business. I'm not going to say too much because we got some stuff we got to do. And I want you to watch in 6 months how it's going to prosper. Not because we all deep in the word, it's because we devoted our life to the Lord. We're doing his will, not our will. And just so happens, the little time that we do have, whatever we do, the Lord blesses it 10 times what it's supposed to be. I don't know how my household is running the way that it's running, because it seems like we got more going out than we got coming in. And I just keep giving out. And it just seems like the Lord just keep opening up doors. And I'm excited because I'm living the word. And because I'm living the word, I'm getting the benefits of the word. And we have to be careful because the devil wants to put that doubt in us and make us doubt certain things. Now, the next couple of days, my wife is going to be at the hospital. We got family coming the end of May. And if you know my wife, she's very clean, tidiest type person. And she's on a timer. And if she can't get this done in her time, she feels defeated. That is just her. She's working through it. And she'll be all right. But she takes a minute when she gets rolling and she gets in the zone. It will be fine because the word is nothing that I'm going to say to her. Is nothing that no one is going to touch her and do all. She's going to rely on the word. So whatever the word is for tomorrow, whatever the word is for Thursday, whatever the word is for Sunday, I'm guaranteeing you without even knowing what's going on or what the word is going to be, but it's going to give us what we need to take it to the next level. I'm just telling you, it's been working like that all year. Every time something comes up, here comes a word. Here comes someone to say something. And it just seemed like it goes good together. So even though there's a little bit of adversity right now, the doubt isn't that God ain't going to be able to do what he's going to do. Just watch how he do it. And then I'm going to say what I've been saying for the last year. I can't explain how the Lord is doing what he's doing. Every week for the last year and a half, the word that's been coming at me has been for me and my house. So it's like, okay, we're going through it, but the Lord has given us the word to take us over to the take us over. And again, for some of you all out there, and we taught last week, we taught on salvation. And yeah, it's a basic message about not doubting. And how do you not doubt? It's kind of impossible sometimes, but sometimes when doubt comes, you got to have a word for that doubt. So whatever the doubt is, if you in a situation and your body don't feel right, and you know, we always hear people say that touch them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, by his stripes we are healed. There's power in that if you believe it, with no doubt. And if you have a little bit of doubt, get you a believer that's going to speak it to you believe it. That's what my wife does for me. When I'm doubting and I don't feel like things is going to go the way that I want it to go, she starts to speak that word into me. And because I trust her and I know that she's from God, it helps me get over to the next level. So then I get a little arrogant because I'm hearing it from my wife, who she's getting it from the Lord, and then I start to get it, and then I start to see signs, and then you start, it just works. It's just that simple. Living for Christ is not hard to do. We make it hard. We make it hard because we want to think that it got to be some deep down. We got to be deep, and you really ain't got to be. You just got to have common sense. And you know, every disciple was for a reason, because the Lord knew some people was going to doubt. He had to use Thomas' doubt to let us know we shouldn't doubt anything. But he said he was blessed because now he believes. But blessed are those who didn't see and still believe. anyone I know that's living on this planet has not seen Jesus be crucified. We read the story. We know that counts. But if we can believe that, why is it so hard to believe that he can heal our body? If you can believe what he did on Calvary's cross, why is it so hard to believe that he can put your family back together? If we can believe what he did on Calvary's cross, why is it so hard to believe that you can't go out and get a job? See, these are the little things that we want to put, and we want to put it on. I'm so tired of dealing with men that say, ain't no jobs out there for me. No, there's jobs out there for you. The question is, who do you have faith in? If you got faith in man, you might not get a job. But if you got faith in the Lord, Jesus Christ, he will put you in direct. He will put you where there needs to be a job. He will put you there without a question. If you have trouble with your kids, he will. If you trust in him and turn them kids over to him, he will raise them up and make. He will protect them for you because you can't do it. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to get ready to get out of here because I know I can get long-winded. But one of the best things that happened to me was a conversation I had a couple of days ago with my son. My son came to Atlanta and saw me, and we talk almost every day. And then some days we can't talk because of his schedule. But he said, Dad, I need you to do me a favor. He said, Pops, I need you to do me a favor. I said, what's that? Now, this is him. I didn't say nothing to him. He said, there's two things I need you to do for me. I said, okay, what's that? He said, I'm coming back the end of May. I said, okay, so you want to go golfing with one of the deacons, if I can set that up. I said, I don't know if that's possible, if I can do that. But he said he wanted to go for a reason. Then he said, can I send him the sermon that the preacher preached? I said, you want the sermon? He said, yeah, just send me the sermon that he preached. Can you send it to me? And I said, okay, not a problem, but because I'm nosy, I just want to know why you want that sermon. And remembering the sermon about the pastor talking about it's in your hands, and I did love what the Lord is doing with my son and what he and how he's using certain things. I didn't do that. I didn't tell him he had to go to church. I didn't tell him to call me and ask. This is something that he did, and I can see it. Now, if I look at the picture everybody else looking at, oh, you and your son, y'all going to go kick it. You do it. You know, you listen to all the other stuff that you hear sometimes. You'd be amazed what I hear. And me and my son, we have this relationship. We can talk. We can argue. But the thing about it is right now is I'm his father. I'm not his friend. And that's what I love about it. I'm his father. So when I'm telling him something, he's taking it as I'm his father, not as I'm his friend. Because some of y'all, and I just know this and get in trouble for what I'm getting ready to say, y'all kids friend. And when it comes time to make decisions, man decisions, he's looking at you as a friend, not as a father. And that's where we mess up. It's just important that we take the word that we that God has given us and we live it day in and day out. And it keeps the doubt away from us. I'm not saying we're going to have moments. We're going to have our moments. But like I said, if you apply the word to it, that doubt can only go so far. And then you'll laugh about it and you keep on moving. D&K Bible Break has been a blessing to me and my wife to where they're asking us to come places. I don't know why they want me and her to talk. That's not up for me. The Lord said he's going to open these doors, and he's opening these doors. I don't have to explain it to nobody. I don't have to say we're qualified for anything. Even my wife is in amazement with where we're at right now. She's looking at me, and she says, why are you getting us involved in our stuff? But I'm not doing anything. This is the Lord. I don't tell people, can we come speak? I don't advocate us going here or going there. I don't do anything. And even at the church, I didn't tell the pastor to put me and my wife up. I've never said that. I did say, if you ask us, we will be there because that's what we do. We serve. But I didn't. There ain't been no backdoor meetings for me to go here, go there, go there. People, when they ask us, the Lord tell them, use these two. And then when you do that, it builds my faith. I don't have to doubt anything ever again in my life. because of what the Lord has done in just a short period of time. And if you start doing his will and letting him open the doors for you, I'm telling you that favor is going to fall on you and stuff is just going to happen. There's so much stuff that goes on that I can talk about, and I'm pleased to see. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me. Because I know the bishop, I believe he was listening before we had the technical difficulties. Something happened, not Sunday, but two Sundays ago. And I wanted to say this, but I forgot last week. I'm going to say it this week, and then I'm going to try to get out of here. But his daughter, his middle daughter, youngest daughter, gave a five-minute message. And if you come to Praise Tabernacle, you know, there's always, every now and then, majority of the time, there's always someone gets up, a minister, a deacon, or someone gives a five-minute message. Well, this Sunday, it was surprising to me, his daughter got up and did a five-minute message. And it was really good, and it just touched me, because I remember having that conversation with my father. She had it with her mother, but I remember having that conversation with my father when I wanted to preach. I said, I want to preach. And it just changes your life. But now when I look at the bishop, and I'm just saying this because I just want people to have something to look at. The bishop now has his whole family. He and his wife don't even have to come to church no more. Because what they started, they put in their kids. He ain't got to play the organ. His son plays the organ. He ain't got to play the drums. Son is on the drums. His wife don't have to sing the praise and worship because his daughter sings praise and worship. Now, his daughter then got up and got behind the pulpit. To me, that's the way. That's what I'm praying for. That's what I want. I'm not bragging about it or anything, but that's just a blessing when you can see it manifest in your face. And people wonder why I brag so much, because this is the same person that's giving me the word to get over these bridges and over these things that I'm going through. It's because of the word that I'm receiving, not just from him or his wife or the Bible study team, but you got to surround yourself around people who's going to carry you to the next level, not leave doubt in your head. Some churches we went to, I wasn't good enough to preach. I wasn't good enough to do nothing but just sit there. Some places we went, my wife, all she was good enough to do was teach the little babies. I'm not knocking it, but there's more door that you have to give to God. And if you do that, whatever you're trying to do, the Lord will bless it for you. If you do his will, he will give you the desires of your heart. And whatever business or whatever plan you're trying to do, the Lord will do it. All because you believe. All based upon your belief. And you know, I hope I'm making sense tonight. I hope you understand where I'm coming from tonight. I'm excited for the summer. I'm just excited. I got some stuff I want to do. I told my wife, you know, when I played football, you know, I played offense and defense. I never came off the field. I did. I never came off the field. I played offense, defense, special teams. The only time I came off the field is if we scored a touchdown and they had to kick the extra point. I wasn't on the extra point team. But every other, I was on it. And then my brother always said, make sure you make an impact. Win, lose, or draw, make sure that they notice if you ain't on the field. I ain't saying you got to be a preacher, you ain't got to be a singer, but whatever that talent is the Lord giving you, make sure that you let it be known and that you're doing it for the Lord. Don't do it for people. Do it for the Lord. And I guarantee you, the Lord will open up doors, and stuff that will bother the average person don't bother you. It just doesn't bother you. I'm so happy to be able to serve and to be able to do what God wants me to do and be a part of a ministry and to be used by the Lord. Now, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I want to be used. I want to be that soldier in the army of the Lord. And if I die, let me die a soldier in the army of the Lord. Let me die doing what God has called me to do. Don't be on the bench. Don't be on the bench. Everybody I know, if you know how to say hallelujah, if you know how to clap your hands, you part of the team. You got a purpose. But if you just there, ain't saying nothing, ain't praising, ain't encouraging, you just taking up space. And I'm going to say this for the next time I preach, and I'm just going to be honest with you. It don't make no sense to nickel and dime your way to hell. If you're going to go to hell, just go to hell. Ain't no sense to come sitting around folks that's trying to go to heaven, that's going to heaven. Ain't no sense of coming in there and you serve no purpose. And a lot of folks, because of tradition and religion and because they doubt themselves, they come to church, and because they ain't doing this and they ain't do this, so you ain't got to go to seminary school to be a preacher. You don't have to. I know I'm saying it wrong. I say it wrong for a reason. The Lord is blessing us. And like I said before, if you believe what he did on Calvary's cross and you believe it and you didn't see it, you are blessed. I didn't say that. That's what the word says. Thomas doubted. He doubted. And there's some doubting Thomases out there. I know they said Elder Oliver this, Elder Oliver that, he this, he that. I hear it. I really don't care because it's not about me. It's about doing my Father's business. And as long as I do my Father's business, am I going to slip? I'm going to slip. Am I going to fall? I'm going to fall. It's all part of the game. And you got to have people around you that can tell you you're wrong. Oliver, you're wrong. You ain't supposed to do it like that. You're supposed to do it like this. I know I'm talking a lot, and I said I wasn't going to be long-winded, but I got one more story, and I said this story last week. And I put this story in one of my messages, and I hope I don't get in trouble for using it. But I said last week, my wife asked me to take the grandbaby to the bus stop, and it was back in January, I believe it was. Or December. I didn't know it was one of the coldest days of the year that I went out to do it. And the reason I didn't mind doing it is because the bus stops right in front of my house. All I got to do is walk right down to the end of the mailbox and bus there. She gets on the bus, I walk back up and go inside the house. But something happened this day that my wife asked me to go take her to the bus stop. I said, yes, I would do it. And in my mind, I want you to follow me. Y'all ain't going to see me coming. I said I would do it. And when I was going out the door to the bus stop, my wife was in the door. Now, she asked me to do it, but she in the door, telling me I had to go next door, just walk over a few feet, because that's where the bus stopped. Now, you got to understand, it's cold, it's early, and I said I would do it. Most married men would be like, I got this. Just be quiet. Let me handle this. That's what I'm saying to myself. My wife is in the door yelling at me to go next door. Even the grandbaby, we got to go to the next driveway. I told them, we stand right here. I'm not moving. The bus driver happened to be black. It doesn't make a difference. Nice black young lady drives the bus. She stopped in front of my house, put the baby on the bus, and left. I thank you very much. Walked back in the house. Wife still downstairs telling me that I did it wrong. I said, she got on the bus. That's all I was supposed to do. That was my assignment. I lightweight got attitude with the situation. So I said, okay, she arguing with me about this bus. I happen to know a bus driver. I happen to know someone that drives the bus. I happen to know the bus driver. He happens to be a married man. I said, I'm going to call him, which happens to be my pastor. So I'm going to call the pastor. Because now, if you're married, you know what I'm talking about, because this is what married people do. We argue sometimes. But if you win the argument, you might get something extra if you win the argument. So I'm trying to win this argument. Maybe I can get me a steak dinner out of this. Have her apologize for waking me up early in the morning and have the nerve to be black, open the door, yelling at me outside. We live We got white folks in this neighborhood. So anyway, I call my pastor. I tell my pastor, because he drives the bus, I just know I'm about to win this argument. I just know without a shadow of a doubt he going to be on my side. He gives me a 10-minute sermon about why the bus stops where it's supposed to stop, and it can't stop 1 feet. It has to stop at a design place. Now, I'm getting attitude. Now, he gave me a 10-minute sermon about busing. And I listened to him give me this 10-minute sermon about busing. And he was telling me something I didn't know, and I learned. The moral of the story was, because he knows about busing because he drives the bus, he told me the truth about not what I wanted to hear. Watch where I'm going with this. He didn't tell me what I wanted to hear. And I was trying to bait him into telling me what I wanted to hear. And a lot of times, as Christian, I see y'all didn't know I was going here. We want to live in sin, and we want the preacher not to preach about the sin. We want him to sugarcoat it so we could be right. But he told me that Brooke could lose her job if she didn't stop at that design stop. Now, I feel bad and convicted because I had her do something that she wasn't supposed to do. And as Christians, we sometimes sin, and we don't want the preacher to preach about it. He know about it, but we don't want him to preach about it. You see where I'm going with this? That's why when you hear people preaching and teaching, and we get people to get doubt because they're not living the way they're supposed to live. You can't live a lie and expect God to bless you. You can't live a lie, and then when it's time to believe, that's where the doubt comes, because you're not living the correct way. It's just my opinion. So that's why I know I'm in the right church, because he could have sugarcoated that for me and let me win that argument, but he didn't do that. He just went on and told me about the laws and the bylaws of the busing, to where I had to go back out the next day, not because the pastor told me, because I felt convicted by having that woman stop in front of my house. And I told her about my story. She laughed at me, and I said, from now on, we'll come to the right stop. The moral of my story that I'm telling about that story is, we cannot sugarcoat our life and expect God to bless us and expect his word to work if we're not living the correct way. You can't live a lie and expect God to bless you. You can't live a lie and expect God to heal you. Now, he will do it, but you can't keep living that way and think the Lord is going to continue to bless you. And that's really all what I wanted to say tonight. Stop doubting what God can do and start believing his word. Hang around people that's going to encourage you and that's going to make you become a better person and do the right thing and not do what you feel good to do. Some days I just want to tell people peace of my mind in the Lord. I can't do that. I can't do that. That's not what God told me to do. But with that being said, we got to hurry up and get out of here. Tomorrow night, we got a Praise Tabernacle Bible study. Bishop Omar Zachary, First Lady Pamela Zachary, Praise Tabernacle Bible study tomorrow night, 7 p.m., same time. Thursday night, Bishop Omar Zachary Family Ministries at 7 p.m. If you also want to, you can go to Praise Tabernacle Church to see their live on Facebook. And then Sunday morning at 9 a.m. in the morning, you can see them on Facebook and right here on Blog Talk. Also on Wednesday night, we have Watchmen on the Wall with Elder Bazaar. And then on Saturday, we have Spiritual Sense of Life with the Overseer Timothy Jackson on Saturdays. Also, on the third Friday of every month, he has Freestyle Friday with Overseer Timothy Jackson. But with that being said, hopefully you learned something. They're telling me I got 20 seconds and it's going to cut off. This is the first time they're doing this on time. And I got to be in the bylaws of being on time tonight. So thank you all again for listening to us. Continue to pray for my wife, pray for her daughter, and continue to pray for everyone else. Tomorrow night, Praise Tabernacle Bible Study at 7 p.m. Be blessed.